Time now on our pregame show to visit with Tom Ceratori, the head coach of the Beavers. Tom, coaches have hair that they're pulling out every game. Coaches have gray hair. Winning helps with a lot of that stuff, doesn't it?
Absolutely. No, we found a way, and I mean, we had the game in hand, and we obviously made it close, and it got dicey at the end right there. But I guess at the end of the day, we won the game, and that's a positive. But we got to make sure, too, that you know, next time this happens, you could end up losing the game, too. So you have to – you got to learn from the last 2 minutes last night.
In order of the big moments of that game, how big were those two power play goals to get you going right from the start?
I agree, Schulze, and we took advantage of some new killers for Lake Superior State, and the guys made a couple plays, and it was nice getting that two-goal lead. But then again, now we got kind of, we just kind of let our foot off the gas a little bit, and we let them back in the game, and versus getting that third, and it's just nothing's ever easy.
Yeah, they get it back to 2-2. How important of a swing was it to get it back to 4-2?
Well, I mean, a two-goal lead is huge. And one thing, when you have a two-goal lead, it'll always, there's always going to be some dicey moments. And, you know, as the game continues to tick, you're not necessarily playing Lake Superior State necessarily in the third period. A lot of times you're playing the clock. And as the clock's ticking right there, having a two-goal lead gives you a little comfort.
At the time, no one knew that fifth goal was going to end up being the game winner, but Alex Iarullo, a couple seconds before the goal scored, he wanted a penalty to be called. The arm didn't go up in the air. This game rewards you for keeping your head, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it does, and we can't have ill-advised penalties at ill-advised times, and who knows? The bottom line was, though, if we scored and went up 5-2, but if we keep the game at 4-2, does all the aftermath at the last minute and a half happen? That's what we don't know. I mean, we don't have that crystal ball to find out exactly how everything else would play out.
What happened on those next two goals for them?
Well, we didn't protect the middle of the rink. It's a bottom line. We got caught outside the dots on both goals, the third goal and the fourth goal, and we were cheating. And when you cheat. There's times you're going to get away with things, but there's times that you're going to get exposed, and we got exposed, and we didn't have enough numbers inside the dots at that particular time on both those goals, Schulze.
When you're in scramble mode, is it ever a bad play to flip a puck out of the zone, flip it out of the rink, ice the puck, do whatever it takes just to calm things down a little?
Heck no. I mean, a whistle, a lot of times, again, a whistle at the right time, at an opportune time, is what the doctor ordered. And we also had a timeout to play with last night, too. So if we would have had an extended shift and we would have iced the puck, we could have called a timeout, too. So, and we let our guys know that right away, that we do have a timeout. And the guys do know that. The bottom line is, all we want to do is move the chains. That's the football term. All we want to do is move the chains at the end of the game. You know, the defensive zone, get it to the neutral zone. Neutral zone, get it to the offensive zone. But if you can continually move the chains, keeping the ball on the ground, getting 3 to 4 yards at a time, getting your first downs, it's the same thing in hockey. Just keep advancing pucks.
More with Coach Ceratori when we come back. Our pregame continues on the Beaver Radio Network. Welcome back to our pregame show, part two with head coach Tom Ceratori. Two cylinders certainly made their way into the score sheet a bunch last night, Tom. And I haven't talked a bunch about this on the air because I wanted to talk to you about it first, but their younger brother Cole goes from the juniors right to the NHL. Just flat out, let's start with that. How hard is that in this day and age?
Oh, it's very difficult. As an 18-year-old in the National Hockey League, right from the USHL last year to the NHL, and he's playing very well for Columbus, and he's a quality hockey player, and he's just going to have a great future. Great career, I should say.
As you've gotten to know that family over the years, what is it about dad has success, kids have success, and it just kind of, the family tree is a good one?
Well, genetics are good right there, and you got kids who love the game, who are tenacious, and have the will to get better. And when you love the game as much as they do, that's how it all starts.
Your dad, your son Matt played. I'm sure he's got a little bit of you as a coach in his game. You've coached former NHLers kids. You've coached former Beavers kids. What is it that family tree, though? It in this sport especially, that it does have a trickle down from dad to kid to nephew.
Oh yeah, it does, and there's no question about it. And again, a lot of it is what, I don't want to get redundant, but a lot of it is that love for the game. And you have to have the love for the game. If you have the love for the game first, that sets the table for everything else. And because there's talent, there's athleticism, but you need that love for the game, and that's any sport, and that's anything really. That's anything you do in life.
On to tonight. Take the listeners into a Saturday morning on a road trip. You guys do video work from the game before. You do that at home too, but just some of the logistics involved when you are on the road. And is maybe the Saturday video session one of the most important of the week because you know exactly how your opponent is trying to play against you?
Yes, I think so, Schultz. I think you're spot on right there. I think it's the most important video of the week, the one you have Saturday morning. Why? Because it's fresh. It's fresh from the night before, and there's going to be some adjustments being made for the Saturday night game. And I think it's probably the most valuable video session of the week.
How have your Saturday video sessions evolved over the course of the years?
I don't know. I think they're all pretty similar, Schultz. A lot of it's predicated on how you're playing and how the night before went. But we stay pretty consistent with our time, with the amount of time that we want to go over things with the guys. I mean, the coaching staff might spend 5 hours for 15 minutes. But it's important. At least we have a good handle on what to expect. And there's other things that we can address. If we don't address it via video, we can address it in the locker room before the game, between periods, those types of things.
How do you break down video? Do you watch a period at a time and then rewatch it and pick out plays? Or do you stop and pick out plays as you're watching it all at once?
You just let it go. You watch it as beginning to end. And then obviously, again, I'll just watch the penalty kill. Travis will watch the power plays, and Travis is the majority of it from beginning to end, and that's what you got to do because there's so many situations. And if we really, I guess if we're hurting for time, our system is set up pretty good where Eric captures the game the night before. If we have to just look at breakouts, if we just have to look at our forecheck, if we want to look at transition, if we want to look at, defensive zone, if we want to, whatever we want to look at, we have that game broken down into segments as well. Like we have 30 to 40 different segments that the game is broke down in. So we can also go to those areas too. And if there is an area of concern where we just thought it was a glaring concern that night, we'll go right to